morning. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 to 10. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 to 10. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother named him Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." Now Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me, and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, that it may not pain me." And God granted him what he requested. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I just thank you, Lord, for calling out your people out here today to pray, God. Father, Lord, I just thank you for this beautiful morning where your mercies have been renewed for us, Lord. And Father, Lord, we just want to humbly come before you, the cross and your word, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that that my brothers and sisters will be encouraged today, Lord. So I just humble myself, and I just pray that you use me, God, as a vehicle to convey your heart, Lord. We just thank you for who you are, and we just love you in this place. In your precious name, I pray, amen. So at the beginning of every year, we make resolutions, and for us, there a resolution might look something like this: this year, I'm gonna read the Bible from front to back by the end of the year. And we always say that, and we talk about the Horner's Bible reading plan, the different Bible reading plans, and I've been doing it for a little bit too, and every year, I come to the book of Chronicles. It's one of those books that start off as a genealogy, right? It's for chapters, it just goes on. This guy married this girl and had these amount of kids, and this guy married this girl and had this amount of kids, and this kid, and this kid, and this kid. And it just goes on for chapters. And every year, there's that temptation to skip all this part, right? But in the middle of the forest of genealogies, you find a small passage, two verses, and it's the only time that you hear about this guy named Jabez. Today, I just want to talk about divine blessings, and there's just some footnotes that I wish to make before I continue. The first one is that this is not some magical prayer that you just recite every now and then for the days of your fast and you get what God wants. This passage in the past has been frequently used by some pulpits saying that in the likeness of the prosperity gospel, for example, if you pray this, then God will bless you materialistically in these kind of ways. That's not what my intentions of today's sharing is, and I just want to be very careful and just speak with caution that is not my intention. The second thing I would just wish to highlight is before we actually continue to deep diving into the Word, we have to recognize one thing, and that is the sovereignty of God. What does the sovereignty of God really mean? Well, it means that God is God, all by himself. And the blessings of God are just that as well. They are of God. That means that for us, you have to be okay with allowing God to have 100% discretion and 100% total control of the way that he distributes blessings. So when we pray, we could pray, we could ask, we could wait, and we have to thank God no matter what. It means that we do not have a choice whether God gives you what you ask for or do not give you what you ask for. And that is by recognizing the sovereignty of God. I just want to suggest that today, the character Jabez, when he experienced his divine blessings, it was from a direct result of a personal relationship with the living and sovereign God. You cannot and will not know the blessings of God until he becomes your father in heaven. So just the first thing that I do really want to mention is that we have to recognize that the sovereign God, you need to have a personal relationship with him. The good news for us is that if you already consider God to be your Savior and Lord, then you are already blessed. And we could just stop right there. You are already blessed if you know God and Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But I think, now this is just my opinion, I think although we occupy a position of blessedness in Christ Jesus, we can still fail to receive further blessings that God wishes to bless us with if we do not walk right. If we do not walk right, okay? So you're already occupying a position of blessedness, but if you do not walk right, then you can fail to receive further divine blessings from God. And Jabez's life, two verses, gives us a template of the kind of life that God tends, not God does, but he tends to characteristically bless. Okay, and that's what I just want to explore today. The first kind of life that God characteristically tends to bless is a life that is marked by purity and one that's marked by righteousness. Verse 9 says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. It doesn't specify what kind of way he was more honorable. I honestly don't think that it means that he was more honorable in ways of his power, his materials, or his emotions, his family. I think it meant that he was more honorable in his spirit, that he was walking in the ways of God that was pleasing to God, and that he was a godly man. Psalm 1 says this, that I'm just paraphrasing, but in Psalm 1 it says, if you want to be blessed, you have to watch what you say, whose counsel you listen to. You have to watch out who you hang out with, and whether you're in the way of sin. And it continues on to say that if you actually deepen yourself in the ways of righteousness, then you are like a tree that is planted around streams of life. Our lives have to reflect a conviction, and it has to reflect a character, and it has to reflect a conduct that that reflects the things of God. I recently got internet. I got internet and so I've been like catching up on like 3 years worth of shows that I haven't watched before. Okay, like I've lived without internet for 3 years, and so I finally got internet and I'm watching this show on Netflix called Narcos. I don't know if you guys heard about it. It's a show that that reflects a life of a man named Pablo Escobar, and he is a Colombian drug cartel leader. And at one point in the 80s, he was actually one of the wealthiest men in the world. He was like the sixth wealthiest man. He just had so much money. And obviously, there's a lot of violence and there's a lot of corruption that goes on in Colombia. And finally, this guy rises. He encounters some sort of opposition, and there's this general who like creates an army to go after this guy, and there's this one scene in the first season where Pablo Escobar now needs to negotiate, not try to get captured. So he sends one of his boys over to this general, and tells him to basically bribe him. And obviously, the man who's righteous comes back, refuses, and the guy comes back and says, "Pablo, listen, he just won't refuse. He just won't take your offer." And there's a line in there that says, and Pablo looks at him angrily and says, "Just pay him more money, you know." They're like every single magistrate, every single justice, every single cop, general, every single person in this world has a price. If he doesn't take it, it's because you're not offering him enough money. Just give him more money. And I just want to, you know, does it take anything for you to compromise your righteousness? Just want to ask if there's anything that compromises your devotion to God. And we learn here that the very first principle of divine blessing is that you need to be honorable. And now I could see how that could be a little bit of a discouragement for us, and it was for me. But I find comfort in the fact that the scripture says that Jabez was honorable. It doesn't say that he was perfect. And I think that we should take a tremendous amount of comfort from that. Because if perfection was a prerequisite for us to receive further blessings from God, then all of us will come short. So praise God for that, right? It says that he was pure, but not perfect. And I guess what the point here is that if we should take comfort in knowing that God is not looking for perfection. Yeah, here's a rhyme. I try to be like P. Sam. Okay, he's not looking for perfection. He's looking for direction. Yeah, that's good. Okay, right. But it's true. When you know Matthew 6:33 is one of our GIC verses. It's a big verse that's hung up in the office of this church. Says seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. It doesn't say be righteous. It just says just be seeking for it. As long as you're in the right path, as long as you are saturating yourself with the Word of God, and the Word of God is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path, then you are the exact kind of person that God wishes to bless. And so that is the first principle of the kind of life that God tends to characteristically bless. The second one is he tends to bless a life that is marked by pain. Let's read on, verse 9. It says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother named him Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. In Hebrew culture, you, as a boy, you got named on the eighth day that you were born, after you got circumcised. So on the eighth day, you got named on the ceremony where you got circumcised. And in Hebrew, the name Jabez means pain, it means sorrow, and it means grief. How would you like that to be your name? Hi, my name is Jabez, and it means pain, sorrow, and grief. Or other scholars believe that it means the one to cause or administer pain, sorrow, and grief. In Hebrew culture, we also know throughout the scriptures even, names are a way of not just naming this current circumstance that you are in, but it's also almost a statement of what your life, of what your future and what your destiny was going to be like. That's why in Genesis, when Jacob encounters God, remember Jacob is named Jacob, and it means cheat or snare, because he came out grabbing the ankle of his older brother. But when he has an encounter with God, he gets a redemption of his name. So names are not just a way of naming who you are and what the circumstances around were when you were being named, but it's also a prophecy of what your life will be like. And in this case, I guess it was an unusually painful birth for his mother, because 8 days later, the pain of her birth is still fresh in her mind. I guess I'll never know the the pain of childbirth. You know, I mean, we have a mom here today, right? And we've just been like averaging, I don't know, last week they were saying we were averaging like a kid every 3 weeks here at church. That's awesome, right? But like, man, just the, like, kudos to the moms, right? God tends to bless a life that is marked by pain. And I just want to encourage us and say that the pain itself is not the blessing, okay? So I'm not saying that pain itself is a blessing. Pain is only a platform to further blessings. The Bible scholar Toizer writes that he believes it is doubtful. He says it is doubtful that God can use you greatly unless he hurts you significantly. Psalm 119:71 says, "It was good for me to be afflicted, so that I may know your ways and your statutes." And again, the encouragement comes here. It comes through. It says, "It is good for me, not good to me." And there's a very big difference between the two. That one is good for you, and we have to recognize what is good for us. But we also need to know that it's not good to us, because yeah, it kind of hurts. It hurts and it sucks and you know, but that's just the way it is. Is that God can hardly use you if you do not go through some kind of pain. When I go back to the first point, God had only one child in this world who ever walked this earth that was sinless and was walked in complete righteousness, and that is Jesus Christ. But he has no children who has ever walked this earth who was free from pain. And I find tremendous comfort in that. So the second point that I wish to make is that God tends to bless the life that is marked by pain. Remember, it says that's marked by pain. It's not defined by pain. It is just marked by pain. God doesn't need to prevent. He doesn't need to limit to bless you. He still blesses you through, and he still blesses you in spite of your pain. There's another book, I forgot who wrote it, and it's called Pain, the Gift That Nobody Wants. And it's true, when we think about gifts and when we think about blessedness, we only think about financial security, we think about happiness, we think about health, and we rarely think about pain. And pain and our crisis is only a blessing in hindsight, 2020, right? It's really hard to thank God for your pain if you are in it. But I just want to encourage you that that the pain itself is not the blessing, but it's only a platform. And having that platform to further blessing is a gift. There's a pastor in Florida named Pastor H.P. Charles, and he says it this way. He says, pain is like a hammer to a carpenter. And he says that it is a tool that is needed for the carpenter to do his work. It is a tool that is used to smash, to crush, to beat on nails to do his work. But if the nails had its own opinions, if the nails had its own volition, had its own emotion of the way that the hammer should work, then the carpenter cannot work, can he? But the pastor reminds his audience, saying that we have to frequently remind ourselves that both the hammer and the nail are firmly in the carpenter's hands. And I just want to encourage us and say that both your circumstance and both your pain and your life is in the hand of the sovereign and living God. So, point number two is that he tends to bless the life that is marked by purity and righteousness and pain. The last point is that he tends to bless the life that is marked by purity, by prayer. He tends to mark the life that is marked by prayer. Let's read on to verse 10. It says, "Now Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, 'Oh, that you will bless me and enlarge my territory. May your hand be with me, and that you keep me from harm, that it may not pain me.'" I love this because verse 9 is the reality and it's the experience of Jabez. There's nothing that he could do about it. But verse 10 is a verse that he has complete control over. We have the control over our response to our circumstance and our experience. I just want to encourage us by saying that God is still in the business of answering prayer. And if you go back to year 2013 and 2014, PSAM led this church on 2 years on a theme of prayer. And I think that we should just go all and explore it. There are 3 points that he thinks, that Jabez thinks that is a blessing through his prayer. The first one is that, "Oh, that you would bless me." This talks about provisions, okay? The provisions of God is a blessing. And a lot of times we pray and we have specific petitions. So he's being bold. He's saying, "God, bless me. Bless me." And I think it's great that we all came out here to pray. And every time I'm here, I always encourage us to pray like we mean it. We have to pray believing that God is intricately and intimately aware of your hopes, your dreams, and your prayers. And I think that the reason why, well, the first reason that we don't get answered prayer is what James says in James 4. It says, you have not because you ask not. That's the number one reason why we don't get answered prayers, because we just don't pray, okay? There's not much that you could, there's much that you could do after you pray, but there's nothing you can do until you pray, yeah? And I know that sounded really good, not for me. And James goes on to say in chapter 4, verse 3, that even if you do ask, you sometimes do not receive because your prayers are selfish, that they are for self-pleasuring motives. And we know that Jabez, his prayers and his petitions to God were not selfish. Why? Because if James 4 is true, and that God does not answer selfish prayers, then he would not have answered Jabez's prayers, and Jabez's prayers were answered, according to the last line. So the first one is that... I just want to say that God will stop sending... put it this way. If PSAM says it at the pulpit all the time as well, we are a blessing to be a blessing, right? God will stop sending blessings to us unless he could send blessings through us, kind of thing. You know what I mean? Yeah? So the first one is, again, "Oh God, would you bless me?" And the second one says, "Would you enlarge my territory?" Okay? The NIV says territory, NASB says border. This is a bold prayer, and there are 2 ways of looking at it. The first one is that you could say, "Oh, this is a prayer," meaning enlarging your influence. Okay? And I think that this is the verse that actually a lot of the... other members of certain churches kind of tend to abuse, but misinterpret it every now and then. But one way is that, yeah, enlarge my territory, God, expand the scope of my influence. And we are all established in a certain part, in a certain sphere of influence. And it kind of almost speaks of an evangelistic heart. God, may others know the power of your name through my works, in my scope of influence, right? Don't limit yourself to just, you know, church, work, home, right? But enlarge your influence. The other way of looking at it is actually what I like more, but it's just, God, would you make room for me? I'm in a tight spot right now. Just make a bit more room for me. And I think that that requires extreme humility to pray as well, for God to come and to make room for you, get you out of your situation by giving you tools and giving you provisions that is originating only from the one true God. But we, again, going back to the point, is that we have to pray knowing and believing that God is willing and He is ready and that He is able to bless us. So when you pray, you have to pray to a God that you know is greater than your circumstance and is greater than your petitions. The second point is Jabez prays a prayer about presence. Okay, let's read on. It says, oh, that you will bless me, enlarge my territory, that your hand might be with me. Okay, this talks about presence. This talks about intimacy. It talks about the desire for just intimacy with God. And we cannot be satisfied with just the things that are in God's hand to bless us, but we have to be satisfied with the hand itself. You know, we say it this way at SP. We say, stop seeking God's hand and seek His face, right? And the best example of this in Scripture is actually the prodigal son. The prodigal son, as you guys know in the book of Luke, he just says, Daddy, I don't want you, I just want your money. I don't need you, I just need your money and your stuff, and I'm going to go away. And what happens? He goes off to a far country, and he gets, his money dries out. And then he has a sudden epiphany, and you guys know the story. He comes back, and his father restores him. But in life, we have to stay close to the source and not the channel. Your job, just the channel. And I need to remind myself that every single day, and I do so, right? My job, just the channel. Your money, just the channel. Your community and your friends, your family, great things. We all need to thank God for them, but just the channel. And what happens to channels? They get clogged up, they could get cut off, and they could dry up. And this is why we need to stay close to the source. And that source is God, the one who provides. So the second point is that Jabez prays a prayer for intimacy and presence with God. Remember, it is His hands that could open doors that your education, that your bank account, your power, and your position cannot. I know Sue's here, so I just want to mention this, but like, you know, when I got my current job right now, Sue sent me a JD, and I looked over the JD, and in my own way, I just could not have gotten the job. Like, I actually recently found a JD, and it's funny. It's like, the only thing that the JD and I had in common was that we were, like, that they were looking for a human, and I was a human. That's it, okay? I had to be fluent in Japanese. I needed a master's degree in financial engineering and all these crazy things. And I look at the JD, I'm just like, how in the world did I get this job, right? Just channels, right? Those things are just channels, but you have to stay close to the hand of God and not only what He has in His hands, but the hand itself. And the last point I want to make is, and this is a really, really, this is head on the nail, and I know I'm going way too long right now, but the last thing he prays is protection. So his provisions, his presence, and his protection. Let's read on. It says, that you would keep me from harm, that it may not pain me. Again, two different ways of reading this. The first way is, God, you made room for me, now protect me from external evils. Keep me away from the devil and keep me away from his snares and his schemes. So protect me from the harm that comes externally. Okay, so that's one way of looking at it. And it just means, God, help me to finish strong. The second way of looking at it, which I think is a better way of looking at it, is God, there's a lot of rotten stuff in me, so protect me from me. And if you guys go back to the point I made earlier about Jabez and his prophecy and his the way of his life, is that he was doomed to lead a life that was marked by sorrow, by grief, and pain. Okay? But what he's saying here is, God, take away all that, redeem my life, and help me not to fulfill my name. Help me, God, not to fulfill my name. Help me that my label will not be my legacy. And I know that my mother and other people in my life have spoken this truth about me, of what I was going to be, or maybe what I was not going to be. But God, would you accompany me in my life so that I do not fulfill the words that have been spoken over me, over my life, but instead I want you. And the greatest thing of all this, at the end, it says, God granted Jabez his prayers. God granted Jabez his prayers. You know, there are two different kinds of prayers. There's an offensive prayer, and there's a defensive prayer. The defensive prayer is very reactionary. It's, God, help me to live with my name. I know this has been spoken over me, so there's nothing I could do about it, so help me to live with my name. Or waiting for something to happen until you ask and petition to God. The offensive prayer is a tactical prayer. It's a prayer for advancement, and it's a prayer for, that puts you in the right path to God. And I know recently, you know, you see the Protect This House t-shirts a lot in the church, right? I mean, like, all the staff wears it, and, you know, it says Protect This House. And there's a time for protection, and I totally, totally agree with that, because this year we're learning about how to build up this house. But we can't only stay on the defense. We need to go on the offensive, you know? I mean, like, yeah, Under Armour, you know, like, sometimes I just don't like Under Armour, okay? Like, because it reminds me of what I'm not. I feel like I have to look like P. Ricky to wear Under Armour, okay? I need to be, you know, like, 6'4" and jacked and, you know, have a six-pack to wear it, right? So it kind of reminds me of what I'm not. But I think that there's a time for defense, and there's a time for offense. And I'll just stop right there. I believe that Jabez's prayer was an offensive prayer. It was a prayer that went on the advance. God tends to bless those people whose lives are marked by purity and righteousness, that is marked by pain, not defined by pain, marked by pain, and marked by prayer. And within prayer, three things. One, the provisions, his presence, and his protection. So I'll just stop there. But let's pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, God, that you spoke to us this morning, Lord. And Father, Lord, that you taught us what it means to be an honorable disciple, God. What it means to know and look back on our pains and know that you have our circumstance in your hands, God. And Father, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that that you have called us to a house of prayer, Lord. Help us to get familiar with the smell of the ground, because we are on our knees, God. Father, Lord, we just want to come humbly before you and the cross, and we say, God, would you come in to our lives, God? Would you bless our lives, Lord? And would you enlarge our territories today, God? Father, Lord, would your hand be with us in every turn that we take? And Father, Lord, would you help us to keep ourselves pure and protect ourselves from both external and internal evils, Lord? We just thank you for this time. In your precious name we pray. Amen. So let's go through our Saturday prayers. The first one is about the members of our community who are battling cancer. Let's choose one name. Choose one name up there, and let's go after it today. And pray boldly, believing that God will heal. So let's go after one name under cancer. And then next week when you come back, you go for another name. Okay, let's pray. Let's go on to the second section. These are our friends and family who is battling some sort of infirmity, but also need salvation. Again, let's choose one name and let's go after it like we mean it. Let's pray like God will listen to the prayers because we're the ones who came out today to pray. Yeah? Let's pray for our friends in the community that are battling some sort of infirmity. This list looks long, but it's actually not. There are a lot of praise reports that have been coming in. So again, let's choose a name and let's go after it. Alas, let's lift up our brothers and sisters who are looking for work. Let's pray for that hand of God to work, that the hand of God will open doors that their education, that their previous experience cannot open. So let's pray for that divine intervention. Let's lift up our Saturday mission, our Saturday prayer topics. The first one is our mission focus in North Korea. So let's pray for an open door for ministries and other missional opportunities in Asia. Let's also lift up the persecuted church, especially in the Middle East as well. And let's just lift up what's going on around the globe and that God's hand would come and be swift in righteousness and in justice. Oh yeah, and about the Middle East, you know, tomorrow PSAM has told us that he's going to be preaching about how we can respond to Dr. Yvette, who came out earlier last month. So let's really put this onto our hearts. There's a lot of things that are going on in that part of the world right now. But let's also just pray for ourselves and how we can actually respond the way that God is calling us to respond. So let's just lift that up a little longer. Let's go on to SP weekend activities. There's a big list. There's EMP Bible study, GIC, prison outreach, homeless outreach, domestic helper, education outreach, drug rehab outreach. Let's pray for Sunday services. Let's pray for Noah's Ark. Let's pray for the worship, hospitality, SP youth, Yahweh, SPIN services and activities, SP rings that's happening later, and all other meetings. There are a lot of outreaches that's happening today. There are a few house churches that are going out to Yuen Long. There are a few house churches that are going out to Toon Moon. Let's just lift them up. And really, that this city would just hear the name of God through what's happening throughout this weekend, especially for all the outreaches. Let's lift up. And lastly, let's lift up the house churches that are meeting today: Mawan, McDaddy, Robinson Bay, Tavistock, and Westside. let's lift them up, and that they'll have a great time of fellowship, that they'll have deeper encounters with one another and with God, and that they'll be able to bless one another. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, God, for this time that you've called out your disciples to pray. Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that prayer is our right as your children, God, to communicate with you, to give you requests, to thank you, and to lift up your great name, Lord. Father, Lord, help us to just go deeper into our prayer time with you. And we just thank you once again for the life that you are willing to bless, God. So can we just pray boldly that you are going to shower your blessings, Lord, as we walk in righteousness and as we walk in a life that is pleasing to you, Lord. Thank you, God. In your precious name I pray. Enjoy your prayer time, guys.